On this week's show,
space, spies, assassins, and TikTok bans queer, fat, disabled people, and Keith. Stay tuned!
I was gonna say stay tuned. That's what the notes say. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers, geezers, androids, space people, people who like speaking and acting out on TikTok, secret agents again, and people who are lost in space. It's this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. And as always on these podcasting journeys, I've got Nigel. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, everyone.
I'm keeping it simple this week because I've got quite a bit to go through. I've just been collecting news stories throughout the week, and I collected quite a lot and I've had to bin a ton. But I think I've got a nice select cut of decent news stories for you guys to listen to.
Prime cut for you today.
Yes, prime cut. Just on a note, me and Nigel are feeling very tired. I did a 5K this morning dressed as Father Christmas around Richmond Park in the UK, which was fun.
And so, I didn't. I was out at a Christmas party last night until late.
Well, I was going to say that you were at the Boot Camp Awards and then ask if you got an award or were nominated, or were you nominated for any awards?
I've no idea, to be honest.
It would have been funny if you do that losing face, you know what I mean, where it's like kind of. I was much better.
But well done. Yeah, you know, did the Oscars. Clap. Slow clap.
Yes.
Nice.
So, we're going to be covering Star Wars, a weird story from TikTok, James Bond trailer, the Black Widow trailer, the Lost in Space trailer, and maybe we'll get around to talking to some other bits. But then we'll start off with Star Wars because people listen to the podcast know I love theme parks. I'm a big theme park person, and I try and drag Nigel off to theme parks, and I think Nigel's becoming a big theme park person too.
Well, I used to be, growing up, when I was 16 to 20 odd, used to love a theme park and sort of slowly drifted away, but now I can actually afford to properly go again a bit more often. I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
I really do. It's good fun.
And I recently went to Disney when they were opening Galaxy's Edge in Florida. I was there on my last day there was the day that it opened. And it sounded like a complete disappointment. My friends who were staying there a couple of days after us managed to get into the park with no issues and get onto the rides with no issues. Unlike Pandora in Animal Kingdom, where you still have to queue 40 to fucking 90 minutes to get onto the Pandora ride, which is probably the best. I still think the Pandora ride is the best one in the park. So they opened it up, and lots of people have leaked lots of footage. So I passed it on to Nigel and said, have a look at this. And he went, we've got the podcast in 2 minutes. Have we got time? And I went, no. So you're going to have to listen to me. So we've got the Star Wars was Rise of the Resistance rise, and this is the bit that's supposed to make the Galaxy's Edge thing. This is supposed to be the flight of passage that you get in Pandora, the reason that you go to the Animal Kingdom. And the first things first is they are terrified of Universal. Yeah, Universal have these like cinematic rides, is probably the best way of describing it. If you look at the Harry Potter rides and the King Kong ride and the Fast and Furious ride and all these rides that they've got, at Universal. They kind of they got this weird cinematic kind of experience thing that they do, where they mix footage and pop it into 3D and make it part of the ride and part of the track. I think Gringotts is probably the best example of that. The annoying thing about Gringotts is if you watch the film, Gringotts is primed for a ride. So when you go around to do the Gringotts ride, that's great. So Star Wars looked at, the guys at Disney looked at that and went, right, we need to come up with something to rival these Harry Potter rides because they're taking a lot of like customers away from us. So they put together their Rise of the Resistance ride. Personally, I'm looking at it thinking, looks overly complicated. I'll explain. The ride starts off, you go to your little pre-show thing, they make you go into a shuttle. You get caught by the First Order. You then exit the shuttle. So the shuttle's like, what's the ride? The simulator ride. Oh, I can't remember the Star Wars simulator ride, Nigel. What's it called? Star Tours.
Yes.
It's like Star Tours. So it's a bit like Star Tours. Very limited one because you stand up and they kind of, hopefully they should rock the thing around. But as that's happening, they kind of slowly, they let you walk into one way and then they turn it around. So you walk out and then you're on the, Star Destroyer. I don't know what they're called. I think First Order's because they think Star Destroyers because they're lazy like that. But you walk out to the Star Destroyer, you've got a ton of animatronic First Order troopers, and you get escorted to a little, like, I can't describe it, it's like a wagon with an R2 unit in it, or an R5 unit in this case. And then it turns into, and you haven't been on this ride, it's the Ratatouille ride at Paris.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't.
Because the Ratatouille ride is like a, it's a trackless. There is a track under the thing you're guiding it, but it's a trackless system, so you're not bolted onto a track, so you kind of glide across the floor, and it feels a lot smoother.
Hmm.
So you're doing that, and you're going through the Star Destroyer and whatnot, and things are happening, and everyone goes wow at the AT-ATs because you see full size AT-ATs, but I keep looking at them, thinking the legs look a little stubby on the bastards. Like they've chopped off like a good chunk because they had a really kind of long legs, but they look really stubby.
They did, didn't they? They really long legs on the AT-ATs, and the footage I saw of the legs didn't look as long as what I expected. I don't think they're full size, but the body, the torso of it might be full size, with the head being the full size, but the legs are not.
Yeah, it does. It looks perspective. It doesn't look to scale properly. I don't know.
It
maybe
might
it's
be the video.
It might be the video. I will say that. Until I see it with my own two eyes, I won't pass any judgment on that. So yeah, you do that. You go through the thingy. You get tapped by Kylo Ren. There's some cool effects where he's burning through doors with his lightsaber and whatnot. There's an animatronics with him and Hux talking on the bridge of their Star Destroyer as they're trying to attack this rebel planet. And then you go through it and there's like gun turrets and stuff. It does look really cool. It does, if you've been on the Ratatouille ride, look really like Ratatouille. The movement of the carts and everything is very Ratatouille-like. Having the R2 unit in the front is great immersion to do that. And then they then drag you out into the dock. The dock on the ship. I can't remember what they call it. Space dock. Well, I call it the space dock.
Space
where
dock.
You escape in a pod in a similar fashion to how you got on there. So you do the kind of little Star Tours like thing and then you land. Personally, it doesn't make any sense. The reason it doesn't make any sense is because you escape and the Star Destroyers, all like 7-8 of them, are still up in the sky above you chasing you, even though the one you were on exploded. But they've still got their mates there so they can bomb you from space with ease. But that's new Star Wars for you. It's not supposed to make any fucking sense. Star Tours makes more bloody sense than that. And it's like kind of, you know, we accidentally got caught, you know, in the shit, which was quite interesting. It looks good. I've got a feeling by the time I get to ride on it, they will bin the two shuttlecraft bits. So when you get the shuttlecraft bits, then they'll just take you straight onto the Star Destroyer and you'll go through the Ratatouille thing to make their lives a lot easier because there's so many bits working on that and there's so many points of failure for things to go wrong. And I can understand why it breaks down and people are going, oh, it's breaking down. All rides first day break down because they've not put a couple of thousand people around them. So it doesn't matter what ride. The what do you call it? The one at Universal, the Hagrid's motorcycle ride. That broke down several times. It looked like it was like you couldn't handle the capacity to start with, and they were having to beef it up in certain places. It's a really good ride. Not saying it's not. Not as excited for it because I'm a roller coaster sort of person. I love my drops and my turns and my loops. I'm not so fan of the helix spirally things because they're just not comfortable, but I do like that. It does look like it would be good fun. It does look like it's going to make Galaxy's Edge a much better place to be. The downside is I think they need another two rides in that area to actually get people properly interested in and keep them there.
They've only got two in there at the moment, haven't they?
Because if you compare it to Toy Story Land, which is next door, and it's, you have to pass through Toy Story Land to get to Galaxy's Edge. There you've got Slinky Dog Dash, you've got the 3D shooting gallery game, you've got the Flying Saucers thing, and you've got another ride which I can't fucking remember off the top of my head, but there's four rides there. They're not great rides, they're not like fantastic rides. The Slinky Dog and the gallery ones are the big ones. But you need another couple of rides there to keep people interested. The other thing too is that I've been told that the drinks, you try it once and go, that's interesting. Unlike the butter beer that you get in Universal, where you drink it and you go, maybe I should have an icy one now because it's really fucking hot. So they've got that, and they can clearly see that they're a bit on the jealous side. The next one is... do you remember Game of Thrones, Nige?
I do. I remember.
Do you remember when we were commenting Game of Thrones in the early part of the year? I was laughing at you two because you two love Game of Thrones, and I can see where you were steaming.
So disappointed. So disappointed. Such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. And one of the things we brought up were two reactions. Actually, no, were three reactions. There was a guy who played, is it Varys, the bald fella?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy who played Varys who, during the script reading, threw his script off the table in a huff when he found out that he was going to die at the beginning of an episode, which appeared later on, which was a bad reaction. Then you had, who's the guy who played, Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow. Jon Snow, who described it, what did he describe? Did he describe it as boring? Or something.
I can't remember how he described it.
He described it terribly. Because describe the end of Game of Thrones one word, boring. And people were like, what? What was it? It was like a letdown or something along those lines. And he did that. And then you had Emilia Clarke was like, kind of described the end of Game of Thrones without saying any words. Sorry, I described the end of Game of Thrones. And she goes, best season ever! Sarcastically. Star Wars has just had their Game of Thrones moment. That bit where the cast were asked to react to the end of the film. And they were like, I sent you some screenshots because you didn't have time to go through it. We'll talk about Anthony Daniels last because he's an old man. But if we talk about John Boyega and Oscar Isaacs, the two of them were fucking stony-faced. They were like, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Quite happy it's over. They need to wait for it to come out in cinema and hit, feel the backlash and hope that they may still have a career after this. And then you got Daisy Ridley, and she pulled an awkward face, and Nigel found a great comment on the video that I sent to him. What was the comment, Nigel? Can you remember?
Oh. Yeah, she's shown more range in this emotion just now than she did in the entire three series so far. Well, they obviously haven't seen the latest one yet, but they're assuming.
She pulls the weirdest, most awkward face.
Oh, mate, she's shooting the gun and it's like she's physically exerting herself. Why? Put a concentration face on or something. I don't know, but not something that you're... Her face was such, like, she was trying to lift 50 kilos. Like,
Bench a couple hundred
you're
pounds.
Fucking shooting a blaster, love.
But
it's the same face. I feel sorry for her, but she's probably told to do that.
It's annoying because she's one of those people that, because people don't have pantomimes in the States, and you get them really in the UK and Australia.
Yeah.
She's the pantomime person who winds up playing Peter Pan. Do you know what I mean? She's kind of got that panto. If you know what I mean, with a panto, she's a panto actor. still more qualification than most actors in Hollywood, but not enough to carry a film, unfortunately. And then you've got Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO, who had the best reaction. Because it was like, now you've seen the finished version. The woman said, now you've seen the finished version. Can you please react in like facial expressions and whatnot? To which Anthony Daniels looked at J.J. Abrams and said, it's finished? Was his first reaction.
After 40 years?
This is it?
This is it, yeah.
Because I think Anthony Daniels, being a person who does the sci-fi circuit and turns up to all those conventions and stuff, he knows and has met a hell of a lot of fans over the years that he's been doing Star Wars. And I would describe him as probably on the side of the audience in this. So if he says that, then yeah, it's not looking good at all. The thing is, this is the worst thing. The more car crashy it sounds to me, the more appealing it is to watch. Because I had no interest into it before, and it might have been just boring and dull. But if it's like a total fucking car crash, I'm more interested. I'll be honest with you, I am more interested in watching it fail than I am watching it succeed. I think I'm going to watch it that period between Christmas and New Year's. I pop down to my local cinema and watch it then. And that's going to be very entertaining. I think it comes out. Does it come out on the 15th? The 15th or?
Oh, I can't remember.
15th or the 20th? I can't remember. We have to check. So yeah, we've got that to look forward to. I'm gonna watch that and just go.
This might be 19th.
This makes no sense.
19th December.
It's weird. Anyway, before we ever get round to watching that car crash, that sounding like car crash film, might not be a car crash film. There was another story involving Billy Dee Williams. Now, Billy Dee Williams is a fucking old man. Yeah, I don't know if he's 80 or 70. Yeah, he's about the same age as my nan. He's not a young man, and apparently he came out as gender fluid on Monday. To which I say, get fucking mop and bucket, which is my standard response to the alphabet people and their nonsense. And I was thinking, my brain was like, he made an old man gaffe, where someone went gender fluid and he went, yeah, sure, whatever, that, yeah. Because that's what it sounded like from the thing. And they said it, the articles came out, and then Billy Dee Williams turned around and went, nah, I'm not fucking gender fluid, because I was talking about Jungian psychology in regards to having a male side of your brain and a female side of your brain, and being in touch with being a male, being in touch with the female side of your brain. I had nothing to do with gender. I was talking psychology, because looks like he probably was reading some Carl Jung book-wise, and he was probably really into it and found it fascinating and wanted to talk about it. You know how old people kind of go off and want to talk about what they want to talk about. You know, it's like when you're having a conversation talking about weather one moment, and all of a sudden they start talking about fucking Strictly Come Dancing or something, yeah? but it was madness, because it's like, he's an old man, and his views are probably much more conservative than people let on to, because the older you get, the more fucking conservative you get, because, you know, you're not too fond, people aren't too fond of change as a general rule. But, yeah. They had to come out and turn around and go, no, you're talking shit for Billy Dee Williams. I found that quite interesting. That was one of those fun stories. And then going on to weird fun stories, TikTok. You know TikTok? The little kind of, like the it's like a, almost like Vine was, but with like music things. So apparently the editing tools on TikTok are really good. For when you do videos and stuff, I've seen some people do some quite clever things with videos, with like one person like puts a hand through like a wall, and then someone simulates it on the other side, and some really clever things done via TikTok, which is good. But apparently TikTok admits to shadow banning, I think is the term. Well, it puts suppressed in this thing, but I think the term is shadow banning of queer, fat, and disabled creators. And this is the rub, because there's always two ways to solve a problem. Yeah, There's the way that the society wants you to solve a problem. So I'll give you an example. I think I watched Tim Pool when he gave an example of, you get a park, yeah, and they put path lines. So they concrete a path and they put it in the park, yeah. But you tend to find these desire lines, which are lines of grass that have been worn away because people keep cutting across the corners and so forth and so on. So, for example, people talk about allowing people into other people's bathrooms and so forth and so on. So what companies do, they just give unisex bathroom. Yeah, so here's a unisex bathroom. Anyone can go into it. Problem solved, yeah? But they wanted to go into the ladies' toilets. Well, no, we've just got one toilet now because it's the easiest way of solving the problem. Yeah? So just one toilet. It's just a toilet. There's no gender assigned to it or anything. It goes to the toilet. Yeah? If it's occupied, it's occupied. If it's not occupied, it's not occupied. Yeah? So that's the kind of the desire line result for that. Now, people kind of want to protect these people, and it's kind of, I get the whole kind of wanting to protect people against bullying and all this nonsense and whatnot. But the thorn in the shoe for it is that there are nasty people out there, and you just have to kind of learn to toughen up and get on with it. This is a horrible fact of life. Well, our previous thing, we had lots of people commenting on our videos and stuff, and it's funny because we had like our main channel, and then we had a channel where we just like dumped stuff. Mm. And I was like, oh, the quality's done, like, this is where we dump stuff so we can use it as points of reference. So if people want to see like the whole conversation or something, you could go to the conversation rather than the cut down video that we'd be using for the channel.
Mm. Essentially, yeah, we used that channel. Well, I can't remember what it was called now. Gaming Face Punch something. And it was basically what we're doing now, but on live video. And then we'd take what we said, trim it all the way up, and create from an hour and a half chat, we would create a 3-minute video on certain subjects.
Yeah.
And what they failed to realise is because we hadn't really created any distinct link. Although in the detail we had sort of said what it was, people were watching it and going, oh, fucking audio shit, oh, fucking, you're out of focus, my god, you focus too much on the fat guy, and it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we were like, you do realise this is our dumping ground. If you read the about, it says this is a dumping ground, this is not for public consumption, really. Yeah. However, we have allowed you to watch it. You know, if you want to see the real video, pop over it, sort of thing. You know, we never really took it to heart. There were a couple of people who would say, oh, your audio was pretty poor on that. And the thing is, yeah, we listen back and we go, oh, actually, I think they're right.
Yeah, that's why we record our audio separately now.
Yeah.
So we have to record it and sync it up, which is great fun.
Yeah, so instead of... bit of inside knowledge. So instead of... what we used to do is talk over Skype, and Gareth or Keith would record everyone's audio.
Yeah.
Take it all in from Skype and record audio from Skype. We now all record separately and mesh it all together so that you get a nice crisper sound from all three of us. Well, mostly two, because Keith's never here.
Oh, he's got his fucking fan on.
And Keith's not here to defend himself, so I don't care. And so, yeah, so we've taken that on board, and that's what people should do. It was a criticism, and we looked at it and went, actually, they got a point. They do have a point. You've just got to take things on board. Some people are just pricks.
They were some
being
just
pricks,
dickish comments.
Some people are born to be a dickhead. You can't help those. Really cannot. And me and you know somebody. And, oh, hi, Gav. Gav knows someone too. Not personally anymore, thank God. And, yeah, so you can't, you've got to really just move past it. Why? You shouldn't really take it on board. But unfortunately, nowadays, with social media so available to everyone, people feel that is their God-given right, or just their right to belittle people because they can, because they're behind a keyboard.
But here comes the twist, yeah? If we just play the numbers game and we turn around and say, for every one creator out there who is prone to harassment or prone to complain of harassment, because there are people who complain of harassment who aren't getting harassed, they're just being criticised. This is a bad idea. You get criticism which says, this is just a bad idea, you shouldn't do it. I can think of one lady who I won't mention because I don't want to get her any fucking publicity, who complained. So they look at it mathematically in terms of, right, we've got 10 creators, yeah? And for those 10 creators, we have 200 people that would disagree with them or send comments, yeah? So we could administer 200 people, and not all of those 200 people might be genuine trolls or whatever, or we can just shadow ban the 10 people. This is a weird thing, because that is the logic, yeah? We can keep them safe by not making sure these kind of people never see their content. So there is a logic there, and it's just really weird, because it comes back to that they want the men to use the ladies' toilets, yeah, thing, and companies turn around and go, nah, we'll just have one toilet for everyone and have done with it. And it's really odd. It is really odd. I find it funny, because it's just the alphabet. I'm going to call them the alphabet people, because they're just... I've decided next year I'm going to be what's referred to as corporate homophobic. So any kind of alphabet people stuff coming from corporations, so any rainbow flags or virtue signalling from a corporation, I'm homophobic towards them. But not the individuals, if that makes sense. Because I'm kind of sick of all this stuff, because we want acceptance. You've got, if corporations are backing you up, you've got fucking acceptance. Except for TikTok, who I believe are a Chinese-owned company.
Probably. Before
TikTok.
Well, when we were over in China in July, TikTok is it was available over there, and I was like, oh well, you know, we had enough. We couldn't watch YouTube over there. You just can't use Google, so we were watching bits on TikTok while we were out there to keep ourselves amused, and literally. It's quite big over there. You come back to the UK, and it wasn't here back then. So since about probably 2 months now, maybe a bit more. I've noticed TikTok becoming bigger and bigger. Like, it's exploding. More and more people are using TikTok over here, whereas it was big over in China to start with. So yeah, it is a Chinese thing. That is big over here now, and Europe, America.
It's weird because it's a Chinese company and it plays by Chinese rules, which don't mesh with our way of doing things in this part of the world. And you kind of have to accept the difference in culture. Yeah, you can't really pop into someone else's house and start telling them what to do. But if you don't like their house, don't go in their house. Simple. Yeah, it's one of those things where they've kind of banned it. So I think this I don't think the story's been publicised as much as it should have been, but it's one of those one things that I found really interesting during the week, and that's why I'm bringing it up now. And
so
also,
what was it they did? They sort
banned
of...
fat and queer creators, fat, queer and disabled creators, to stop them being bullied by other TikTok members. Because it's just easier to ban 10 people than it is to ban 200 people. Well, they shadow banned them. Sorry, I think it's the correct term. So they killed their reach. And it's obvious this stuff's happening. Because it happens with people on Twitter and people on YouTube and whatnot. So they have these kind of shadow ban sort of things. So talking about queer, fat and disabled people... New James
Keith's
Bond
not here.
Film. This is annoying because I had a ton of jokes for this TikTok thing for Keith, and I had so many things I was going to rib him about, and I was just going to start off with Keith, you had a TikTok, yeah? Goes, I wouldn't go on it, mate, because they fucking ban you.
Ban you, mate.
Ban you, because why? Because you're fat, queer and disabled. And that was how I was going to open up the story. And it's kind of thrown me not having him here for that.
Yeah, it's such a shame he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, it's such a shame he's not here to defend himself. But we're gonna do that. Anyway, talking about fat, queer, fat, disabled people, the latest James Bond trailer came out. And it was weird because they teased it on Monday and then released it on the Tuesday, where they should have just released it on the fucking Monday. And then done little character spots or something. So yeah, it came out, you know, it's a lot of action. The problem is the action, because the way in Hollywood now production is, I think production for films, all the people who do like the car chases and cinematography and the special effects and the practical effects and everything have got to such a good level. Yeah. You have to pull something very special out of the bag to get noticed. Because it looked a bit Mission Impossible in places. The bit where he's swinging around the bridge reminded me of Tom Cruise in the terrible Mission Impossible film. I think it was the third one, which was a JJ shit film. But it kind of reminded me of that. But I looked at it and it was like, okay, there's this, that and the other, and we've got James Bond and... there's Remy Malek, the guy who played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody, and Mr. Robot in Mr. Robot.
And he was also Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun? In what?
Yeah. I think it's Tutankhamun. In Night at Museum.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Remy Malek.
It does look like he could play a Tutankhamun character.
Alongside... Oh, hang on. Was it Ben Stiller or Adam Sandler?
It's Ben Stiller. No.
They're the same person.
Ben Stiller's not as irritating. and not as disappointing, I think. Yeah. It's probably the best way to describe him.
It's Ben... Yeah, Ben Stiller. And he was in that. I'm sure he was in... Yeah, it's Remy. It is Remy. I'm not going to talk myself out of it. It's definitely Remy.
Yeah. So... We got him as the bad guy in it, and people are speculating whether he's Dr. No, because he's not showing his hands, and like maybe part of his face is scarred. That's why he's wearing the kind of porcelain mask.
What's with the hands? Why do you mention
hands? I don't know. This is another one. What I was hoping Keith for, because he knows James Bond better than me.
So, what has Dr. No got? Bad hands.
He's got eczema on his hands, like a gold member from Austin Powers 3. that's probably the thing. yes. Anyway, getting back to thingy.
Yep.
So they're speculating he's Dr. No. I think Dr. No. I have no idea about Dr. No. I'm what you call it. I'm kind of who's the Irish guy? Pierce Brosnan, James Bond. That's when I started. Yep. I wasn't really interested in before then.
Yeah.
There's that. So people are like, oh, it's Dr. No, and I was hoping Keith would be here, and he'd go, oh, Dr. No was played by Bodgy's Mush, blah 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 blah. My mum got off with him at a party, and think that'd be the kind of story you'd tell me. So there's that, and then there's the whole thing with the Bond girls in it, because it's like, oh no, we can't have Bond girls in it. It goes, we've moved on, have we? Because if we've moved on, there's a chance that these films are no longer relevant and you shouldn't be making them. that's how I saw it. Lashana Lynch, she has the charisma of an apple with several razor blades in it. I find her obnoxious to watch. There are many better black actresses that could have played that part. It's annoying because they would talk about, oh, this is the first black actress who played a secret agent in a James Bond film. And there's Naomi Harris, who is much more charismatic and easier on the eye and charming in comparison to Lashana Lynch. But apparently she doesn't count, which is really annoying.
She was in the previous one, right?
Yeah, she was the one who shot James Bond on the train at the beginning.
Was she meant to be Moneypenny?
Yes, no. She's Moneypenny.
Yeah.
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 I'm much
and she was
actress.
Technically a spy. So.
Yes. I
she was fucking just, brilliant.
Yeah, they did the Captain Marvel where they sit there and go, oh, there's no female superheroes. What about fucking Black Widow? What about Elektra? What about Wonder Woman? Stop making shit up
Hang
and
on a
lying.
Minute. There was a fucking Supergirl film.
Yeah, there was a Supergirl film, and they've done that
It was
again.
Fucking weird, but there yeah. was one. My God, whenever I think of that Super... Oh, no, tangent. But whenever I think of that Supergirl film, the only thing I remember is when she's in that weird swampy thing when she's lost all her fucking power and she's all cut
up. Oh, the Phantom Zone.
Phantom Zone. And it just makes me feel like I'm having a fever dream watching that.
Yeah. It's supposed to. It's a Phantom Zone. It's supposed to be fever dreamish.
Just thinking about it makes me feel feverish, and I think that it's probably done its job. However, you know, case in point.
Yeah.
Supergirl film.
Yeah. Well, that was just going. That's going back to Captain Marvel thing. But if we stay back, go back to the James Bond thing.
Yeah.
There's a bit where M turns around and goes, "Get me 007," and she's going to wander in. Which I'm not looking forward to. There's a bit where she threatens James Bond and goes, "I'll shoot you in the knee, that the one that works like that." And to which James Bond, because this is what James Bond is, a psychopath that the British government go, "He's a problem. Do something about it." Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just
go do something.
He'll kill all his men as a warm up, and then murder them in a spectacular fashion. Please see. Alex from what was GoldenEye, where he has it, where he throws him off the thing and then drops a satellite dish antenna on him. Yeah. Poor fucking Sean Bean. He dies in the most. This is his rule. I must die in the most spectacular ways. Yeah.
Dying. Poor Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Whatever he's in, he's always dead, and I feel for him now. Bless him. I think he's getting fed up of it, Sean Bean, and he's starting to say, "I'll only take it if I don't die. Please let me live in this."
No, he likes. He's got, I think he's got the spectacular death clause, dramatic death clause. Sorry, not spectacular death clause, dramatic death clause in his thingy. So if I die, it has to be in a dramatic way, and it has to add to the story. And if you, there was a campaign because he was doing a TV series called Legends or something. And because he was a spy who was assuming all these identities, and spies refer to their identities as legends. And it was like, keep Sean Bean alive for the series. So you've got Lashana Lynch, and she's got the new Aston Martin that looks quite cool. And James Bond's got the old Aston Martin, which is better. Sorry. And then there's the whole thing with Adeline Swan. It looks messy. I'm looking at it going, I'm going to wait and see what people say, because I've got a horrible feeling this is just going to be chocked full of agenda things, because that thing with Lashana Lynch, if that was James Bond, like from Casino Royale or whatever, and she was a genuine threat to him, he would just kill her on the spot, because James Bond's a psychopath. He doesn't care. He would kill her and then make some witty retort. Yeah, it would be like, he'd like, I don't know, he would glass her or something, and then turn around and be like, kind of, oh, can't handle, like, buy my her a martini and him a martini, yeah? He'd then smash her face into the martini like the Joker did with the guy in the pencil in Dark Knight Returns, and go, "It's quite clear you can't handle your drink." It would be something along those lines, because he is a psychopath.
I'm going to wait.
But you have to wait.
I did enjoy when Daniel Craig took over. I did like, was it Casino Royale was the first one?
I thought
it was a bit fucking long. It was too long. It could have been.
The whole Casino part in Casino Royale was incredibly fucking boring.
Yeah.
I found that really fucking boring.
No, I agree. It was so fucking boring. It was. I don't like poker. It's not my thing. And they made that, what was a casino bit, like an hour of the film. It felt like that. It probably wasn't, but it felt like that to me. It was so drawn out and boring. So actually, I quite like the one where he went back into Scotland, into his old house where he grew up. Skyfall. I did like that one, actually.
They killed off Judi Dench in the last one, where they had Spectre was the last one, yeah.
Spectre, yeah.
Yeah, the B team story where they were fighting Moriarty from Sherlock was much more interesting than James Bond's bit. That bit I really enjoyed because it was like watching, because it was weird because it took a story out and you had the people who weren't trained to do this shit. They weren't psychopaths. They didn't have any military training. They hadn't had any experience in this, and they were taking care of someone in a situation like that. And that was interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I think someone did a scene count just from using the video, and I think Lashana Lynch's character is in it for like at least 7 scenes. Apparently they wanted to put a thing about her being on a period, I'm sure we talked about this before, into Bond, because that's what James Bond was always about. It was never about the glamour of expensive, wealthy kind of stuff like your Aston Martins, your fucking boats, your foreign destinations, those sort of things, and the suits and the clothes and the glamorous women and gambling and expensive drinks and all that stuff. It was never about that. It was always about kind of bodily functions like having a shit and being on your period, which is just it makes me like kind of the Phoebe Waller-Bridge person, who apparently is in real high demand. I don't know why, because she's fucking talentless. I watched Fleabag and it's the most boring comedy. Its biggest crime is being boring comedy. And you guys were talking about Killing Eve, and I'm sorry, it's on a BBC, and I'm done with BBC after they've ruined Doctor Who and they've ruined fucking War of the Worlds. And if they're the kind of people who employ art, then oh god fucking help us.
I found really... I know we weren't going to talk about it, but I watched all 3 episodes of War of the Worlds, and the last episode was just boring. Nothing happens. Literally nothing. We're not going to talk about it very much.
And the woman saved the world by killing off the red weed.
Yeah, although she sort of mentioned it to the scientist bloke who came up with the formula. Typhoid.
Yeah, she sort of cultured typhoid and used that to kill off the red weed with.
And they showed the man weak and delirious in the room, her husband, although he didn't get affected by it quite as quickly as the old woman who drank from the same water source as him. Then he got it, and what I don't get is why, even though he was sacrificing himself, clearly he was delirious, thought he could talk to the thing, and there was a few of them about, quite a few actually, just hanging around outside the door, never leaving, and she was just simply able to walk away as soon as her husband
That bit in the book, yeah, Border Wars is closer to a horror film than any other, and despite what people say about the Steven Spielberg one, he got the beats and the themes right in War of the Worlds, yeah? He got that overall sense of fucking menace, and he got the sense of horror that you got from what the aliens were doing, because they were just exterminating us like we were vermin and treating us like that, yeah? And that's what the book does, yeah? And there's like the destruction of fucking Byfleet and Newhall and the fight in Shepperton and the one outside the Ship Hotel in Weybridge and all these things that happened. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of skipped through that last episode and just got to the end where I knew the woman would save the world. Apparently, because she solved a thing with the red weed, that she cleared the sky from the black mist that they were putting out.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
No, I didn't understand that, because they did something on the floor. They tested a tiny little bit on the floor. And then, you know, you had the, the spiritual guy going like, no, doesn't prove anything, no, you know, you're telling me it's just simply this and it's not a divine intervention, you know, whatever, bollocks, mate. And
that character.
And then the sky clears.
Yeah, that character's supposed to be locked in the building with the journalist. He then gets carted off and killed and eaten by the aliens as a snack. Yeah, that's what the character in the book is. The journalist gets holed up in a house for a couple of days with this guy. This is the curator, they called him, I think.
Right.
But if you listen to Jeff Wayne's War of the World, they replace him with a vicar or a preacher or a priest or whatever. And he gets killed off. They're trapped in the house. They're starving. The aliens have parked their fucking machines outside. They are trying to capture people, and they are literally eating them outside. And it's making them go a bit crazy, because they can hear them killing people outside and eating them, and it is causing them to go a bit fucking insane. Yeah? So the curator goes fucking loopy, starts making a load of noise, and then all of a sudden the aliens hear him. So they then burst into the building to check what's going on. The guy knocks himself out like a twat because he wasn't paying attention, and then gets carted off by the aliens. They kill him, eat him, and then they fuck off. Yeah? And then the journalist then gets to leave. He then meets up with the artillery guy who's trying to build an underground society, even though he's probably dug about 6 foot. Yeah, and he sounds crazy because he's got like kind of PTSD from fighting the Martians, and he figures the only way we can get away from him is to dig ourselves an underground society, like the underground, and live there.
Right.
They cut that bit out, because that's really interesting to watch someone who had fought these creatures. Because he, I don't know if he was either on the Common or he was at the ship hotel in Weybridge, where he meets him. And they cut that shit out because they killed him off straight away. He was played by the guy who played Harry Potter's annoying cousin in the films, but he lost a lot of weight.
So Dudley.
Dudley, yeah. So you couldn't tell that it was him. So you had that. That was annoying, yeah. And then the story goes that he meets the guy suffering from PTSD because the journalist is like, you're in, so you're seeing like what's happened, yeah. So you've seen the madness that's gripped people, you've seen the panic that's gripped people, and you've then seen the people, the broken people after the fact, yeah. So the journalist is like, okay, fair enough. You know what? I give up. I'm gonna get myself killed, yeah. So he decides to run into London, like screaming, naked, covered in jam. No, he didn't really do that. And get killed by the Martians. But as he goes in there to get killed by the Martians, he notices that they're dying or dead. Yeah, he can hear them yelling, like screaming and dying because they've been killed by bacteria. And the lesson was, it was like kind of, we have bacteria that are kind of, from a Western perspective, at that point in time, we'd eradicate all bacteria, thinking that we would be doing the world some good. The problem is that if we went somewhere that had bacteria that we hadn't eradicated, it would kill us. Yeah? And you can then use the parallels of the British Army going into places and get killed off by malaria. And that was a story. And those few sentences that I've just spoke are 100 times more interesting than what was fucking shown on that BBC fucking thing.
Oh, it was boring, mate. I wanted to finish it because, you know, well, I'd watched two episodes and I thought, well, okay, they're stuck in a room, they're getting hunted down, let's see, they've teased a little bit of the monster, let's see.
Yeah.
And it was nothing, it was so, it was no tense to it, there was no tension, there was no excitement, there was no yes moments, you know, like they've
it's supposed to depress the fuck out of you. It's supposed to feel that you've lost, everything is done for, give up, yeah. And then at the last moment, God kind of intervenes with the bacteria, and it's like kind of, oh, I took care of this. That was kind of the story beat you got from the 50s film, and even the musical and the Steven Spielberg version. But I don't know. It was terrible. Anyway, we've fucking gone off into the weeds here. We've got bloody Black Widow to talk about.
Yeah, let's quickly.
Anyway, I'm worried about the James Bond film. It's just going to be dire shite, and it's just going to be James Bond being put down or whatever. And I think part of it's Daniel Craig not wanting to play James Bond. Why are you still playing James Bond? You've played James Bond longer than anyone else is playing James Bond. Stop it. The others stopped it. Sean Connery stopped it. Everyone stopped it. Why?
Money.
Okay, please, then admit you're fucking Bond greedy. A bit more.
Here's loads of money.
Yes.
Oh, okay then.
But on the same day, because Marvel knew that the James Bond trailer was dropped on the same day, because they may have announced it early and said that they would do it on Wednesday. So they had to share some of their moment with the Marvel Black Widow trailer. And I looked at the Black Widow trailer and I'm like, I'm up for a bit of that.
I quite like that.
I am annoyed because this should have been before Endgame. This would have worked so much better, considering that Black Widow dies off in Endgame. This would have made you... That would have had a more emotional impact if you'd have watched this film. But now we watched the film and it's like kind of... I know she survives. And then I know she dies later. And it's the timing's wrong. They should have done this a lot earlier. Maybe Iron Man 2. It looks good. It looks entertaining. You've got David Harbour as the Russian version of Captain America. I can't remember his name. It's like Red Star.
Or something. Oh, is that who he is? I don't know.
Yeah, so he's got that. And it's like kind of, you've got Rachel Weisz. And she's like kind of, oh, you've got fat. Like that. And it's like, yes. It goes, yes. But to which I saw someone turn around who was doing commentary on the video. Goes, yes, I got fat. But I've still got work, unlike you. You're old. And haven't got work. It's like kind of, dude, that would have been a terrible thing to say on set, but that would have pissed myself laughing if I heard it. So you've got that. You've got Scarlett Johansson. She looks pretty good in it. You've got what's his name? It's a really cool character. He was in the Spider-Man game. He's got photo. He can see something and repeat it perfectly. He dresses up like Skeletor. He's the bad guy. I can't remember his name. Taskmaster.
Oh, Taskmaster, right.
Taskmaster. And he's the one who's responsible for training up all the henchmen that you see in the film. It's like, where did you get all these henchmen from? It's the fact that Taskmaster takes a load of people, trains them up, and gives them back. Because he knows how to do that. Because that's kind of his power. It looks good. I'm probably more excited for that name, for James Bond. I couldn't see any politics in there of any short, safe description. The only thing that we got was that you got fat, but the character is supposed to have aged and whatnot, so there is that element to it. I think that's about it. That's the closest thing you got to politics, but it's just a cheap joke, I think.
Yeah.
I'll accept a cheap joke. And everyone's like, kind of, oh, Hopper did survive Stranger Things. This is what happened to him. He turned into a Russian superhero. And then I'll accept that. As I said, it looked good. Taskmaster looks good. He looks like he's one bit he's using a bow and arrow, so he's seeing Hawkeye use his bow and arrow, so he's being able to repeat that, and that's quite bad for those people because they're not superhuman, so they can't do a feat of strength against him. So that's going to be interesting. I think the Russian Captain America is going to die by his hand, so we can have some kind of emotional impact sort of thing. I think that's kind of set up. If it happens, I fucking called it. His sister looks like she might be set to replace Black Widow in the Marvel universe, so she could be.
Yeah, that's why they should have done it before Endgame. Yeah, but definitely. Yeah.
So I think the timing's wrong on this. I think this is going to be the best Marvel film we're going to get for a while. I think all the others are going to be hot or fucking cold. Because you're going to get fucking politics injected into it. I'm hoping that the Joker film
has
changed people's opinion on that, and the Chinese, and trying to appease the Chinese fucking market.
Well, I hope not. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got that. It does look good. What do you think of it?
Do you know what? Far more excited for this one than I would be for James Bond trailer that we saw. Yeah, no, right up my street. I like Black Widow anyway, because in my mind she's the only superhero in the Marvel thing who hasn't got a fucking suit to help her do what she does. She hasn't got super abilities to do what she does. She's just incredibly well trained, like Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And she's just your everyday assassin slash spy slash
everyday
fucking
assassin. You can find them in the aisle at Tesco's.
Yeah.
you've got what do you call it, the deluxe assassins who come in that kind of best kind of that nice pack, and then you've got the everyday in the very plain blue and red packaging, and that's what fucking Black Widow is. It does look good. It's is it April next year? I think it's, I can't remember. I didn't put that down as a note for that. So yeah, it's going to be cool.
First of May.
Okay.
First of May in the UK, so it might be international. Who knows?
It's just the funny thing is, because I think because of tax reasons, we wind up getting the film slightly ahead of America, which for Americans must be annoying as fuck. Because we got Endgame and Infinity War before them. We got it like a whole 4 days before them, which I think is a bit out of order. Release it at the same time worldwide to avoid spoilers and shit.
Yeah.
Because you know people are. And you know people are going to try and record it and this, that and the other. And you want it to be... You want it to be the best. Okay, so... Mm. Another trailer. We got the second series of Lost in Space. Where they are making boats out of spaceships and then sailing over fucking waterfalls, apparently. I think that might be the first episode. I think they find the ship. I think a lot of time. I think some time travel shenanigans have gone on because they find the ship that they originally attached to, the colony ship that was transporting backwards and forth, that had the alien star drive attached to it. I think that's what you call it is empty. I don't know what the fuck's gone on there. I think they've either scuttled it because they've got the robot or a robot on there that's attacking people. It looks good.
It doesn't look like the robot from the first, although I've only seen probably 4 or 5 episodes of it.
It does have like an attack mode.
It does, it changes shape.
It has like a scout mode, or I would describe it as scout mode, where it's like normal human shape, and then it has attack mode where it's got like fucking spinning laser beams of death.
I need to finish up the first series because this second one
you need to finish The Expanse off before Friday.
Good luck, and then
do The Expanse. Have you not got any train journeys or something you can watch it on?
Unfortunately not at the moment, no. Otherwise I would be watching them.
Just watch an episode in the evening. Trust me, you need to do it because the next series is going to be fucking awesome.
I reckon it will.
So, yeah, the Robinsons, I feel a bit bad for them because they are going up against The Expanse. Grand Tour Seaman 2 is the other thing that's coming out on that day on Amazon, which I'm a little annoyed at because I'd prefer to have it like maybe before Christmas as like a Christmas sort of special thing. But hey, if that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing.
We could have watched it over Christmas, couldn't we?
Yeah, it's. I find it funny because in Lost in Space, they've set it up so the, because they always do this female empowerment thing. They set it up so the mum's in charge, but the writers very cleverly have done it so the mum's in charge, but they don't respect the mum. They respect the dad. So when the dad says something, they listen to the dad. The mum says something, it's like, oh, you're always fucking telling me to do this, blah, blah, blah. Dad tells him to do it. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, right. And he's got them, like, kind of in the palm of his hand. And I kind of like that about that. That cheered me up. It's not always the case, but most of the important things, it was the dad. Everyone listened to the fucking dad. It got to a crisis, listen to dad. Don't worry about mum. And the great thing about that is the mum character was getting fucked off with it. So they acknowledged that whole thing inside the series. And that I like that. And it's like, oh, if you're going to do that, you put a woman in charge, especially with a family. That works. It wouldn't work with, like, say, a group of strangers that were thrown together, but with a family, that kind of makes a bit more sense. Which was good.
I think you're right, though. If it was a family, definitely would make a bit more sense.
Especially
if she's the bossy one, and then she's always saying to the husband, just back me up in front of the kids.
I think she has a go at him for not backing her up.
Don't go against me.
Don't don't
guess. When I'm talking to the kid.
I think there is a bit in the first series where she does do that. Not that way, but rough. The conversation, the essence of the conversation is what you've just described. So yeah, that was interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll probably review that on the podcast. And next week, I imagine we're going to be talking about The Expanse a lot. Because I probably am just going to binge that till like fucking 1 o'clock the next morning when I get home. It's like, shut up, everyone. I'm watching The Expanse. Which I'm really going to fucking enjoy. I'm so looking forward to that. Miller is a giant robotic space crab. Yeah? That's what you got to look forward to. That's a spoiler Miller. There. Miller. And I hope they do it. But saying that, there's a chance that they may extend this over 2 seasons. That's why they already got the season done, because they look like they might be mixing the 4th and 5th book together, which is, I think it's Babylon Asses and Chipola Burns. I don't know if I've said that right. But it looks, I'm excited. I'm very excited. I've rewatched the last series of The Expanse like twice.
Really?
It's been in the background when I've been doing other things, but I kind of
I've not had the opportunity to do that, but I have been trying to watch episodes of The Expanse. I think I've watched about 4 now, and I do think I might have watched it when it was on Netflix, like bits of it's sort of familiar, bits of familiar. I'm going, oh, I swear I've seen this, but I might have only watched a certain amount of them. I don't think I've watched the entire series, so. It's only familiar. It's not, oh yeah, no, I know what happened.
The reason it might be familiar is the fact that me and Keith have been talking about it for fucking ages. And some of that stuff may have seeped into your brain.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, so that's Expanse. Awesome. Just on a quick note, me and Nige, when we were doing Gaming Face Punch, and we were primarily focused on gaming rather than kind of pop culture bits, we reviewed a game called It Came From Space and Ate Our Brains.
Yes, we did. On the PC.
And we tested
it. We had a pre-release version.
We had a pre-release version. We spoke to the guy doing the marketing. They were very polite and that, and they let us test it and play it, the three of us.
We even played the game with him.
Yeah, we played the game with him to see how we got on. The guy was much better than us at the game.
It
was great because Keith fixed one of their network problems for the game. If you remember, because the ports weren't working, he goes, oh, no, you need to reroute it through this port. And he was like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, our multiplayer started working. And this is before the game was released. And we were really grateful that they approached us and took their time to do this. So we did like a review and we popped it up on our channel. Now, it's coming to the PS4. And it was just like, I saw it and it made me feel a bit nostalgic for the old days of our gaming face punch before we were associated with adult sex toys. Because someone didn't pay the fucking domain fee.
Keith.
Yes, Keith.
Your
fault, Keith.
It ceases to exist.
Yes. And we never know.
We might not be associated anymore. Best check it and then.
I'm going to check it now. But
it actually is a decent little game. To save us actually going through what it's all about, like, just sort of play it. Go watch a video of it. And see what you think.
It's like a little kind of manic kind of 4-player shooter where you have to take on aliens and they get harder wave by wave.
Yeah, you're sort of looking top down over your character, and on the PC you have your mouse, and the direction you're facing with the mouse sort of you will shoot when you push a button to shoot. Mm. And then you can go around. The more you shoot, the more you earn. And then you can upgrade your stuff and pick up upgrades and stuff like that. And more zombies, mobs, aliens.
They're aliens. You got like kind of the brain-eating aliens and the little kind of wormy aliens and the giant super slug aliens and the ones that kind of sneak around in the dark. And I remember the guy was explaining to us the kind of the type alien types that they had. I'll have to rewatch our review.
Yeah, if you feel like it, you could probably find our YouTube channel, Gaming Face Punch, and search for the review.
Yeah.
Oof. They came from space and ate our brains. We see a little review on there.
Made me all nostalgic. There was one story that I had to abandon because I couldn't fucking get anything to verify. because I've had one source, and I'd like to try and find a couple of other people to verify it. And it's usually a case of I pop in, I search for the title, I search for roughly the title in the news thing, and it pops up. But it was Activision's Modern Warfare. They put an update out, and they seem to have put a load of microtransactions into it. I believe this is probably true. Can't back it up, though, so listen to that and take that with a massive, massive tablespoon of salt, because it could be wrong. And on that note, I think it's time we say goodbye.
I think so.
I think you're right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and you will hear from us in the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. Check you later.